What's up, Breakthrough Success? Mark Berti here, and we've got an entrepreneurial journey from our special guest who went from a layoff to over 6 million monthly visitors on his website and a seven-figure income all in this interview. So the guest we are interviewing, he is the founder of whatismyipaddress.com, a tech-friendly website which he created back in 2000. So this one has been around for a while, and what began as an experiment turned into a side hustle during his extra time back when he had a shop, but then the layoff happened, and he saw this as an opportunity to fully devote himself to the website. Now it's a resource for people who are concerned about their online privacy, security, and freedom. So we've got a guest who is making it. We've got a guy with the seven-figure income who's got a really meaningful site that's helping people with their security and some of the tech stuff that people don't think about as much. So our guest is none other than Chris Parker. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Chris, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And I mean, it's really impressive what you've been able to do with the site, and I definitely have a bunch of different questions, but I really want to get started with when did you realize this could be something big, like this could really take off the way that it has?
I wish I could say that I figured that out 3 months after I launched the site. I wish I could say it was even 3 years after I launched the site, but it was probably much more around 10 years into it that I realized, oh wait, there's a real opportunity to make more than just a dinner out or a vacation here or there, but there was actually enough to potentially have a good living off of it. And that was about probably about 10 years ago that I made that realization.
Wow. And it's really interesting how I feel like for a lot of people now, if you start at 2000, like it's different because like training courses, self-publishing books, you're not hearing about this stuff. But I feel like people realize later that there is potential to make this a full-time thing. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you're able to grow the website and get the initial momentum, because 6 million monthly visitors is really amazing, but it didn't start that way. So can you talk about how you did it initially?
Sure. I initially launched the site back in the days of Alta Vista and Lycos, which is probably way before many people's memory of the internet. Most people don't think there's an internet before Google, but there was. And initially, when you launched a site, you had to submit your site to the search engines. And there were a variety of tools that would help you do that at the time. And so I definitely did that. And these days, my goodness, you register a domain name and it's been crawled before you can even get a website up. But it was definitely not the case almost 20 years ago. It was, yeah, you submit it and they say, well, we'll get to it in a couple of months, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months. Maybe they'll index it. Maybe they won't. You got a typo. Sorry. It's going to take a while for it to show up that it's been fixed. But I think the core philosophy that has really helped me over the years is that I've really tried to think of the people that I'm serving first. Initially, when I launched the website, it was just just showing the person the IP address on the screen. There was no other text. There was no markup. Just on the upper left-hand corner, an 8-point Arial font. There's your IP address. It was after I saw the logs of the server building up that I realized, oh wait, there's an opportunity here. This is a really popular tool. Maybe I should engage with it a little bit more. And I put my email address on there, said, if you have questions, ask me questions. And so nights and weekends, I was responding to people's questions and had the realization that, gosh, I'm answering the same question an awful lot of times. Let me put a FAQ on the website. So I took like the 10 most common questions and answered them on the website. And lo and behold, the amount of emails I was receiving went down, and the traffic to the website went up because those were things that people were actually looking for answers for, and I was giving them exactly what they were looking for. You look like you got a question.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, it's really smart how Chris saw that people were asking him this question, and then he put it on his own website. That's a way to rank on Google. It's a way to come up with free content. It's a way to come up with training courses and services as well. And I'm wondering, is this how you eventually started to make money with it? Like you just saw questions and you created products around them?
I actually have created no products that I sell whatsoever, which lots of people are going, oh my gosh, why haven't you done that? I tried to run a previous business where I was selling books in the pre-Amazon days or the around the Amazon launching days, and I hated the process of running credit cards and having returns and people physically returning products and people disputing credit card charges. And I was like, you know what? At the time, it was like, that's not scalable. I don't want to do that. I just want to build something, and I only have to deal with vendors. I don't have to deal with, you know, I don't have a customer service department, a billing department dealing with all these little things. And so when Google AdSense came out, I put AdSense on the site. And everybody these days is familiar with AdSense. It's a little chunk of code that you throw on your website, and Google matches, at the time, matched your content with advertisers that were interested, that matched up with the content. These days, they do interest-based ads and all sorts of fun things and demographic targeting, and amazing what Google can do and what a lot of other platforms do as well. And that was kind of the realization that, hey, there's a lot of traffic coming here and there's an opportunity to make a lot of money off of this. I wish I could say that all 6 million visitors to the site are from the United States, when in fact, it's probably less than a third of the traffic is U.S. And so it does introduce earning issues that other people, that U.S.-based businesses potentially don't have. When I have traffic from Bangladesh, let's say, it doesn't earn nearly as much money as someone from the United States. And so I have lots of traffic, and some of it is not super monetizable in the terms of, hey, if I double the traffic, I'm going to double my income. I could, you know, with my traffic from India, I was actually really excited. In the last couple of weeks, my traffic from India tripled, and my earnings went up by nothing. but a very negligible amount of money, because people in India do not have the earning power that they do here in the U.S. There's a currency differences and all that kind of stuff really play a role into that. But I've just continued to work to produce content that's surrounding people's questions, trying to be helpful. And rather than, hey, how can I make a quick buck off of people? How can I, you know, I've seen lots of people selling lots of sleazy products online, or let's throw 45 pop-ups on the screen and let's try to leverage as much money out of people as quickly as I can. But I've really kind of gone with the attitude of, I want to do this for the long haul. I want to treat my the people who come to my site, my tribe, with respect, and provide them an experience that meets their needs and also allows me to make a living.
And I love how Chris is focused on helping people, because if you focus on helping people, like, the revenue is going to come eventually. You want to do the whole impact before income, but then the income does come eventually. So I definitely love that focus on helping. And I mean, it's really interesting in your case where when you got laid off, you saw it as an opportunity to focus more on your website. And I feel like for a lot of people who get laid off, like, it's just a struggle to, you know, like, just acknowledge what just happened and move on from there. So can you talk a little bit about how you're able to bounce back and be able to go from that moment, that low point, to where you are now?
Yeah, it was really an interesting thing, and I'm glad that I can look back at as an opportunity. You know, I really kind of had when it happened, it really gave me the opportunity for my wife and I to say, okay, well, gee, will investing more time in my business actually result in more revenue? I think, you know, if some people are, you know, I have work product that if I work 4 hours, I make $400. If I work 8 hours, I'm going to make $800. When I'm producing content for the website, there's no guarantee that if I start spending 40, 60, 80 hours a week putting more content on the site, that it will necessarily offset the loss of my daytime job. And that was something my wife and I, we talked about kind of during this time, is like, do I think I can make up that the loss of a full-time income over the course of the next 6 months or a year? And how do we go about doing that? There's loss of benefits. Yeah, do I really want to do this? We're risk averse. The first thought in my mind was not like, yeah, let me jump in feet first and this will be amazing. It's like, well, this is a risk. I know that with the economy, it's not what it was, was not what it was 10 years prior to that. And gee, if I'm off the books, an employment role for too long, employers look at that and go, well, gee, you haven't worked for the last couple of years. What makes you think you're current? And so I think there was that worry in both of us that if I did this and it didn't produce income, it didn't produce an increase in revenue, that would really hurt us in the long run. So we kind of set up a plan, a 3-month, 6-month, and a 12-month goals. And, will I be able to hit those milestones by investing the time and energy in growing the site? And lo and behold, was able to hit those goals in part from the work that I did, but I started to pull in other content writers who are better writers than I, pull in a graphic artist who's a better graphic artist than I, and even a couple of years ago, started working with a business coach to really help me think about my business in a different way.
And Chris's insight, it's interesting to hear, business is a risk. There's also a risk in putting all of your income up one source. So there's a lot of risk going on in general, but the thing to remember about Chris is he started this as a side hustle. It's not like he left the job and then he came up with this brilliant idea and he worked on it. He was working on it as a side hustle, and then it was easier for him, still risky, but easier for him to take the path that he chose to take. So for everyone who may be at a job at this moment, it is good to start off with a side hustle, find that extra time to see if this is something that you could really take to that finish line and have it eventually replace your income.
Yeah, I was really excited by it, that it wasn't, that I didn't have to do an all or nothing type of thing, that there was already an established arc trajectory of revenue. It was just a matter of, can I make it a hockey stick instead of a flat line?
Right. And then Chris investing in himself was also another big factor that led to that growth. And now this is a website that I think we should focus on a part of, what the website's about. It's about security. It's about online privacy, things like that. So what would you say are some of these security and safety tips for protecting ourselves and our businesses?
I think there's three things that we definitely need to do. And this probably applies to not just businesses, but just individuals. And then I'll throw in a bonus for businesses. Everybody should be using a password manager. If you're not, you either have a phenomenal memory and you can remember hundreds of passwords, or you're like me and you can't. And it's great to have a piece of software that remembers all your passwords for you. And the reason for this is pretty much everybody is getting breached once a month, once a year. There's a great site, Have I Been Owned, with a P instead of an O. You drop your email address in there and it'll show you everywhere your email address and a corresponding password has been exposed on the internet. Probably not everywhere, but dozens and dozens of breaches. And so you throw it in there, you have this realization that, oh my gosh, my password's that password that was my favorite password in high school that I used for 10 years, it's out there and it's associated with my email address. And so if I'm using it at my bank, if I'm using it for my utility bills, anyone can get into those sites and learn more about us and access our accounts and steal money from us. The second thing is two-factor authentication. Everyone's like, what in the world is that? That's when you want to log into your banking website, they send you a little SMS message on your phone and you have to type that in order to log into your account. There's lots of other mechanisms to do that. There's Google Authenticator, there's key fobs. But for someone who's not doing it at all, SMS is a great place to start. Just get that text confirmation on your phone. It's just one additional step that even if someone does get a password of yours, it's one more barrier to access your account. Number three is, oh my gosh, please use automated offsite backup. There was a gentleman I used to work for, and at some point I had asked him, hey, what kind of backup are you doing? And he said, oh, I've got this drive attached to my computer, and whenever I think about it, I copy my files over to it. And I'm like, well, what happens if someone comes in and steals your backup? And he was like, oh, well, I'll figure it out. And I was like, well, gosh, I'd hate to be one of your customers who's relying on your service when you lose all your contacts, you lose all your accounting, and now you're left to figure it out. And I say do offsite because, you know, there are situations where homes burn down, office buildings burn down, and if the backup is in the same location, then there really isn't a backup. It's not really secure and safe. And there's lots of programs out there, a lot of services out there that provide that. And for entrepreneurs, I'd say have established processes in place for portions of your business. I know someone else who at his office, the accounting girl got an email that looked like it came from the owner of the company that basically said, "Hey, I'm on a really important call right now, so I can't talk to you. And I've set up this new vendor and I need to send him $5,000 right now. Here's the account. Just do it." And so she gets the email. The person, the scammer had cloned his signature, addressed her by name, created a fake email address that looked very similar to his email address. And so she starts to go on and process this wire transfer. And at some point she realizes, "Oh, we have multiple bank accounts. I don't know which one I should send it from. Let me go over to his office and ask him." And so she goes down there and says, "Hey, which account do you want me to send the money from?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" Wow. She was basically one click away from doing an international wire transfer and just sending away thousands of dollars to some scammer. That's frightening. That's insane. And, you know, with my website, I hear about this sort of thing happening on a monthly basis. Someone comes in and says, "Oh, my accountant wired money," or, "My payroll person put a fake person on payroll. What do I do?" And part of that is just having a process in place that there's a physical piece of paper that someone has to say, "Here's a new vendor, set it up in our system," and it's not just totally reliant on an email or a text message to do it.
Wow, that's a lot of really awesome stuff. And I feel like to really encapsulate that, I feel like when Chris was telling us the story about his colleague, like, it was, "I'll figure it out when it happens to me." And I think that's a lot of us right now, where if it happens, we'll figure it out. But why try to figure it out if we can just prevent it in the first place? So I think I know, like, security, like, for me, and like passwords and all this stuff, like, it's annoying to do, but if you do it in one day, it could save you a lot of heartache later when everyone's getting breached and like your favorite password is the one you use everywhere. So I definitely love that insight from Chris. I wonder if it could shift a little bit to habits, because I love habits. I feel like habits are make or break for all of us. So I wonder if you could share with us some of the habits you would say are essential for your success.
I think there's a couple of habits that I've had to learn how to develop in the last couple of years. Way back when I had tried to do a couple other businesses, people had given me some business books and I kind of flipped through them and went, this isn't very interesting. I don't know how to apply this. But over the last couple of years, I really worked really hard to constantly be trying to learn practices for people who have a different perspective on life than me. That I'm reading through, I've read through Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Week, Chris Bailey's Productivity Product, Hal Elrond's The Miracle Morning, David Allen's Getting Things Done, and really trying to figure out, like, what are some of these things that I can apply to my life, that I can apply to my business to help me be more effective, and really kind of having that learner's mindset. And like we talked about before, investing in my own business, investing in my own professional development, and trying to figure out how to do things that will move my business forward that are outside of my comfort zone.
Chris, I love that idea of investing in your development. I've seen it in me. I've hired coaches for my podcast and YouTube. I'm also a coach for anyone who's interested in podcasting, virtual summits, making money with content, webinars, or sales funnels. So if you want to schedule a free strategy call for me, that's markgaberti.com/strategy for anyone who is interested. Chris, it has been such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success. And just let us know a little bit where we can find you. I know your website is whatismyipaddress.com, which will be in the show notes. But is there any other place that we can find you, or do you just want us to all head over to your site?
Well, you can all definitely head over there. I'd really appreciate it. but if people want to see a little bit more behind the scenes and the stuff that I'm doing kind of outside of whatismyipaddress.com, they can head over to cgparker.com, and I'll send it over so you can throw it in the show notes.
Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. It was a great time.